Support for the Projection Booth podcast comes from Stitcher Smart Radio. Now podcast listeners can access the latest episodes of the Projection Booth and thousands of other podcasts on the go without downloading or syncing. Stitcher instantly delivers episodes of your favorite shows to your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio can be found in the iPhone and Android app stores or on the web at stitcher.com/booth.
To the Projection Booth. I'm Mike White. Rob St. Mary is not with me this weekend. He is at the Theater Bazaar in Detroit. I am on my way to Chicago for the Movie Massacre, aka The Massacre, and it is 24 hours of film insanity taking place at the Portage Theater. This event happens at least once a year, if not more. I will find out the details as I go along, and I will tell you what movies are coming up in this very special episode as I head into Chicago for 24 hours of movie insanity. Successfully made it to the Portage Theater here on Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago. Just had our first short, Un Chien Andalou, and we're going to be heading into the features here soon. I believe it's Black Cat with Mr. Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff. I love this film. It's the one where Lugosi plays the sidekick to Karloff.
Karloff? Sidekick?
F*** you! Karloff does not deserve to smell my shit. That limey sucker can rot in hell for all I care.
You are frightened, Doctor? You are our host.
At your service, madame. You must be indulgent of Dr. Verdigast's weakness. He is the unfortunate victim of one of the commoner phobias, but in an extreme form. He has an intense and all-consuming horror of cats. Night, gentlemen. I want you to stay in this room all day tomorrow, Karin. You are the very core and meaning of my life. No one shall take you from me, not even Vetus, not even your father. salis. Fortis cadre, sedre non potest. Humanum est.
Peter! Please let me go!
It came from a land of brutality and evil. It came from terror and fear. The curse of the werewolf that was laid on a baby who grew into a man possessed by a monster. To this Spanish town, the night brought drinking and dancing, music and girls, and the moon, the full moon. A man possessed by a frenzied lust to kill and kill and kill. The curse of the werewolf. A man possessed by a desperate need for love, who found in Christina all the passionate sincerity of youth.
Christina, do you love me? Will you marry me, Christina?
You say you love me, will you marry me?
Yes. Yes, I will.
Help me!
Get away, get away! Get away!
Folks, just stepping outside of the theater for a little bit here, getting done with Curse of the Werewolf, a Hammer Film production with Oliver Reed as the werewolf. We really don't get to see him as the werewolf until maybe 15 minutes before the end of the film, but whatever, not a big deal. Interesting kind of a movie. Before that, we watch Black Cat, which I will admit I'd never seen before, even though I'd wanted to for years. I was completely blown away by it. Cinematography was amazing. Really, really good stuff. So we're about to embark on Witchfinder General, which I'm very excited to see, especially after talking to Ian Cooper for our Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia episode. He wrote a book about Witchfinder General, so it's definitely been on my radar, something to check out.
With the tranquility of rural England shattered by civil war, evil was spawned at a time of strife in the land.
Take him, Stern. Look for the devil's marks upon him.
Right. Help us, you two.
Pounding the innocent in violence and terror, this evil man showed no mercy in the pursuit and interrogation of his victims. He was called the Witchfinder General. And amidst the horror of the witch hunt, a story of tender young love.
Didn't your uncle just say you must early to bed?
He did.
And isn't he a wise man?
He is.
But even their innocence is cruelly corrupted by the vile touch of the Witchfinder General.
My motive in coming here was to find the truth.
Vincent Price is the Witchfinder General. Lust and greed were his only gods.
The money from the magistrate. 9 guineas in silver.
Good.
Now we can leave.
Ian Ogilvy as Richard Marshall. He stood alone against the forces of devilish destruction.
And 'tis in thy sight, O Lord, that I hereby swear I shall not rest from the pursuit of his murderers till they stand before thee, ready to answer to thee for their sins.
Rupert Davies as John Lowes.
Master Marshall, welcome.
Patrick Wymark as Oliver Cromwell.
Amongst the most pleasurable aspects of victory, gentlemen, is the opportunity it affords to reward valor. It ranks almost with good food.
And Wilfrid Bramble.
And what line of business might you be in?
God's business. Witch-finding.
Witch-finding. Oh, that's nice. That's very nice.
And introducing Hilary Dwyer as Sarah. filmed in authentic detail and photographed with piercing realism against the actual background of peaceful villages and quiet countryside. Never has England looked so beautiful, yet been so violent.
I'm your man friend. John Stern, they call me.
Man's inhumanity to man portrayed on the screen so vividly that you flinch, so real that you too will fear the Witchfinder General. Be the first to see it. Be the first to talk about it. The Witchfinder General.
like hour 7, 8, something like that. I don't have my phone / watch with me, so I have no idea what time it is right now. Just know the sun's gone down, but that's could be 4 o'clock for all I know. But with the way that the sun's going down early right now. Anyway, just getting out of Spider Baby. Beautiful, brand new, restored print. Looks absolutely gorgeous. It was great to see on the big screen. And one of the best things is that all of these things that I'm seeing here at this massacre are on film. I don't know if we're looking at 16 for some of them, but definitely looking at 35 for pretty much everything, and which is just great to see. I definitely appreciate seeing things on film, and this has been a terrific experience. So Witchfinder General, enjoyed it. If you're a fan of watching people ride across the English countryside on horseback, it's definitely a movie for you. Great seeing Vincent Price as a completely despicable character, and he seemed to be having a great time doing it. Spider Baby, again, great to see. I'd never seen it on the big screen, so seeing it that way was terrific. Great to see very young Sid Haig in that, and pretty he wasn't soused at the time, but pre-downfall Lon Chaney Jr. So today we've had some really classic actors. I mean, Vincent Price, Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, and Lon Chaney Jr. And then the fun's just going to continue. We're heading into Return of the Living Dead, and Linnea Quigley's in the house, trash herself. So, always a classic. Again, one I've not seen on the big screen, so really looking forward to seeing that way. I know who my mom is.
In the dark of the night, something strange is going on. You see that movie, Night of the Living Dead?
Sure.
They ship those bodies here. Well, say hello. The dead have risen from the grave.
Mister, there's 100 of those things out there.
How many did you say?
100.
And now the question is, how do we get them back into the ground?
Bert, Frank, we have a little problem.
Four left, 10 right. No.
Job.
Live brain. Medical science is baffled.
And it's a puzzle. Because technically, you're not alive.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains.
How do you kill something that's already dead?
Well, how do I know, Fred? I don't know. Let me think.
It's not a bad question, Bert. In that movie, they destroyed the brain to kill him. Is that what they did?
The brains, right!
Brains!
Brains! The brains!
I hit the brain!
Oh! Get it off! Get it off!
The military is nervous.
Usual crap.
The police are confused.
Send more cops.
It worked in the movie.
Well, it ain't working now.
Bring the movie line.
It's not a bad question, Bert. It's not a bad question, Bert. It's not a bad question, Bert.
The Return of the Living Dead.
All right, yowza, yowza, yowza. Hour 10 of the massacre is about to begin. We've just watched The Return of the Living Dead, freaking classic movie. what really can you say about it that hasn't been said before? Linnea Quigley's about to get up on stage. I'm always amazed at how tiny she is, Trash. And she hasn't gotten a whole lot taller over the years. So, and then after that, I can't even remember what's after that. I'm thinking Nightmare on Elm Street 3. So that should be fun. Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is the only film out of this whole catalog that I've actually seen before on the big screen. And that was obviously in its original run. So very curious to see how it holds up after all these years. If that's even the next film. Who knows?
A genre of goddess, a queen among peasants such as us, the amazing horror legend, Pangoria Hall of Fame winner, Linnea Quigley! Famous genre credits kind of led you into the twisted graveyard of Ritual of the Living Dead, correct?
Yes.
And that was?
Would that be 200 for Savage Streets?
Perhaps. Was it the casting director?
The cast during that director, and she hired me. And then I went back, and the production had stopped, and they had cast Trash before, and she'd become pregnant during the interim. So they had to recast, and Stonesy had me come in, and I read three different times doing the scene, "Do you ever fantasize about dying?" Get up on a table, take my clothes off, things like that, and I got cast after coming in three times a week.
How is that? Is that nerve-wracking from the callbacks and the auditions? What is that experience like for you?
It's really nerve-wracking because you don't know if it's between you and another girl or you and five other girls or if, you know, they hate you or they love you. But I just want to see you be naked on a table, you know?
Stanzi, it was a little perverted then, huh? Awesome. And this, do you feel that this is your most enduring role, the film you're best known for?
Yes, I think so. I think this is the best role I'm known for, even though some people like Night of the Demons. Yeah!
And do you have any... Yes! Do you have reasons that you think why that's the case?
I think because the character's so fun, all the characters are so punk, and it's just a very carefree time of life, and we really don't care, or immortality is what we're about.
And this role has kind of become like a feminist punk icon to people. Can you kind of talk about the difference between something like Trash and some of the other roles you played on earlier in your career?
On my early careers, I played more of the victims, or like I was being beer poured on my head. I had antlers through my stomach. I had rape scenes, a lot of nudity, gratuitous nudity and showers as extras and things. But then this was the first one where I got to really kind of fight back and, you know, be reborn. And it was fun.
Yes! I heard
feel it, go for it. You have an icon here. Show it. How is that as an activist? Everyone knows you're very involved in animal rights and women's rights. How do you deal with rape scenes and gratuitous nudity and things like that? What kind of fortitude do you have to deal with that as a performer?
Well, when I first did them, I did push-ups before the scene so I wouldn't think about it. And you just try to, like, tune it out, because the more you try to hide it, the more someone will look. So I tried to just, like, tune out everybody and not act like it was a big deal, because the more, like I said, you try to go, oh, gee. I mean, I worked with one girl, and she was, like, sacrificed, and she kept going, oh, don't look anymore. And everybody was looking at her.
It's like aiming the flashlight right down there and going, don't look at the man behind the curtain. There was some... there was an experience you had doing the nudity in Return of the Living Dead, correct? So,
there was a problem with the ratings board, and also Dan wanted me to look like Barbie doll. So it was solved by learning this little piece called the Barbie doll piece. And it was made in a mold and everything. I don't want to really go into the details of the mold. It was traumatic. It was traumatic for me, to tell you. The day before, I just was like, I don't think I can do this. But I looked like a Barbie doll, so I looked like either male nor female, and it suited the ratings board. It wouldn't get an X because of frontal nudity.
Interesting. Has that point been brought up to you by the fans that you were androgynous? Do you think that is the reason why some people are drawn to that role?
I think that could be why people could be drawn to that role. I know one of the actors was really, really had never seen that before, because women didn't shave back then, so it was really, really weird to see that, and it freaked them out.
And yeah, he's still breathing today. He survived. Good. Speaking of suicide, let's talk about the book Suicide, your co-star in that. You died tragically a few years after making Return, and he's kind of your main compatriot there. Can we talk a little bit about him?
Oh, yes. Yes, Suicide was just the sweetest guy. He was really tall, big, tough-looking guy, and had that New York attitude, but he was just into the character, was funny, and everyone loved him. He was just like this handsome, great guy, and it was just sad. If you get more brains, it's on there, a little memorial about, you know, what happened to him and his life and what the crew and cast thought of him.
Awesome. What about with the rest of the cast? Can you talk a little bit about that? There's a bit of a delay between you and them. You're kind of your own special spotlight is placed on Trash. So did you notice that on set, that there was a bit of a barrier between you and the rest of the cast?
Well, yeah, I think there was a barrier because I...
I'll talk loud. I got
attacked right after Scuzz got attacked. But I was the second kill, so, you know, there was that barrier between me being a zombie and them being alive. So they didn't want to go near me. Would you?
I don't know. You're very charming. I might have, you know, forgiven the zombie.
Oh, okay, thank you, yes, my personality, yes. So it's like there was, you know, that I was the odd girl out, I wasn't, you know, Tina hated me, my God, she just thought I was terrible for taking my clothes off, and of course, Freddie wouldn't have liked me if he had met me, and the rest of the cast, I think Miguel, who played Spider, would have liked me, and Suicide. So Suicide and I were close, and Spider and I were.
Did you work on relationship with the cast? Was there enough rehearsal time for you to kind of, you know, decide relationships, get histories going, you know, the actors were behind it, or was it pretty wham-bam?
We had rehearsal time, which was mostly involved with costumes and belongings, and not so much as like our histories or and all that stuff. Just more Dan working at like making sure the exact place on my pants or shorts, and went in a character way.
Send more batteries.
So there has been a lot of reporting on the fact that Dan O'Bannon is definitely a unique individual. Some people had difficulty working with him. What was your experience like with him?
I had a fine time with Dan O'Bannon. I did see him one time. He was taking me back and forth. They were going to bury me in mud and I was going to be resurrected. He said, talk to me in the trailer. And I went back and there were some extra zombies were sitting on the steps in this trailer and they had a coffee cup there and he just like went, oh, and hit it back up. But I'm going to be in for it now. But it was really nice to meet the whole time. I didn't have a problem with them. I just did my lines and did what he said. Things grown from different actors, different directors, and
they'd actually be better off without a mic.
Guys, it's all messed up.
Phantasm. The delusion of a disordered mind. A phantom. A spirit. A ghost. For 10 years, the secret of Perigord Cemetery has remained a mystery. Now, three innocent people are about to discover the ultimate evil.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven? You come to us.
People. This summer, the ball is back. Phantasm 2.
It's only a dream.
It's a dream.
No, it's not. Rated R.
I'm recording this on Sunday, 3:36 p.m. I'm on my way back home to Michigan. I tried and I failed. I made it through all the movies that I listed off. I did not make it through Nightmare on Elm Street 3. The film that was final for me last night was Phantasm 2, which I had forgotten about it even showing. the ball was back and my eyes were closing. Not because it's a bad film, but because it was late, man. I ended up leaving around midnight, so I'd made it 12 hours, halfway through the massacre. Hopefully next year I will be able to steel myself and make it for at least 14 hours, maybe 16 the year after that, I don't know. But they were all great films. It was a wonderful time, great seeing everything on 35. Just really good time, a lot of filmmakers, film lovers. Just it was a good feeling in the audience. Most everybody was respectful. There was one guy who was a complete jerk, but I'm not going to talk about myself like that. And there was a couple people, there were a few people texting and checking their Facebook and emailing during the show, which was annoying, but luckily it wasn't too prevalent. So we can hope that that kind of fades out maybe over the years. Maybe when they finally implant that chip in our brains, we won't have phones that we're checking all the time and shining a bright light in the faces of the people behind us and around us. We'll actually just be able to check it and have a little mental image of what our Facebook status is so that we can update and laugh about things and do it all for the lulz. One thing that I found very interesting about the films at the massacre are the things that I would see come up time and time again. There were quite a few images that I was seeing in a lot of films. Rats seemed to be very popular. Seemed like I couldn't go throughout one film without seeing a rat in them. And then people being manacled, oftentimes beaten or tortured, cut up, that kind of stuff, or just being tied up to be tied up, keep people busy, keep people occupied, keep them out of the way. So yeah, it was interesting to see what different themes came up from film to film and cross film. Convertibles, there was one in Spider Baby, there was another one in Return of the Living Dead. So you just, after a while, your brain starts connecting all these films into maybe one giant movie. So it was a pretty interesting movie that I saw yesterday. Definitely want to revisit a few of the films that I saw. Definitely want to go back to Black Cat. I found that one to be terrific. Loved the cinematography, loved the acting. Really want to take a look, closer look at that film. See what else is going on in there to make it tick, to make it appeal to me so much, other than just Karloff and Lugosi duking it out. So I recorded some of the on-stage Q&As. I'm not sure if those are going to work or not. I will try to clean up the audio as much as I can. Sometimes it was actually easier to hear the people on stage when they weren't using microphones as opposed to when they were. I don't know what kind of backwards logic that is or what it was happening there, but okay. So we'll see if those make the cut. If they don't, whatever. If they do, whatever. Ba 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 ba. Alright, so I'm going to sign off. Hopefully people have enjoyed this special episode of The Projection Booth. I was really hoping that I would get loopier as the day went on. I kept having visions of Apu on the security cam when he became a hummingbird after working so many hours at the Quickie Mart, but I wasn't able to do it. Started getting way too tired, started falling asleep during Phantasm, and I just figured I gotta hit the sack, especially there's no way I was going to be able to watch another 12 hours of movies and then drive home. I didn't think it was very fair for the folks around me for me to be falling asleep and snoring and disrupting their experience of watching Houseu or Nightmare on Elm Street 3 or Nightmares with Emilio Estevez and Lance Henriksen, Prince of Darkness, Halloween 2. So I do regret that I wasn't able to see those films on the big screen, especially Houseu. I've always wanted to see that one, and especially on the big screen, but wasn't meant to be this time. We'll make it happen another time. I know some of the theaters around here in Detroit would play Houseu on midnight shows on the weekends. Not sure if that's ever going to happen again, but we can hope. It's definitely one I want to check out. So, all right, folks, I'm signing off. Keep the peace, keep the dirty side down and the shiny side up.